Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It's Tuesday. It feels like Monday because it's our first day back. No whistles, no bells, no shrills. Just hopefully a really good Bible study today and a conversation that will be useful to all of us. I have a lot of information to share. And as you know, today, the title of our message this morning is Meltdown. Meltdown. So according to the word of God, the heavens and the earth are going to pass away and the elements are going to melt. They're going to burn with fire, 2 Peter chapter 3. So what happens next? Are you inwardly prepared to meet the Lord? Am I inwardly prepared to meet the Lord? Have you lived your life in a manner pleasing to the Lord? Have I lived my life in a manner pleasing to the Lord? I believe the journey of a lifetime has arrived, and that God, our Father, is going to roll away the reproach from his kids and cause them to skip forth like the calves out of the stalls. God is good, even in the midst of the storm, and he always has his way. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Romans that talks about the new creation, the inward, born-again, new creation species of a person that has been born again, that's literally standing on tiptoes with outstretched neck, looking out and over. You know, you can imagine a kid raising up and looking over the fence, right, into the greater glory than his own backyard. There is a territory for your born-again spirit and my born-again spirit. There is a land of the living, and I believe that God is going to roll away the reproach where his people were penned in, if you will. They were penned in the wilderness for 40 years. But the time of going into the promised land and reaching beyond that little backyard experience known as the wilderness, I believe that God has a people in these last days that he is going to release from the stalls. And they're going to skip forth like the calves, and they're going to run upon the mountains. I believe it's time for God's people to have the reproach in their lives rolled away. We are living at a time that is absolutely amazing. And as born again, spirit-filled men and women of God, possessing the power of the kingdom of God, having the Holy Spirit influence in our lives, I believe there's going to be a release. And we cannot release prematurely. In other words, all the stuff that's going on around us, we want to get involved. But God, I believe, is still holding back. You know, before they went in to possess the land under Joshua's anointing, they had to be circumcised first. Remember, they had crossed over, but they had not yet been circumcised, that new generation. So they spent a few days recovering from the circumcision before they were told to go and possess the land. And Jericho was the first city they were going to take. Remember that? I mean, it's important for our understanding right now to look at types and shadows, to go back and learn so that we understand exactly what God is doing right now. No premature advancement. No running into things and getting caught into the fray, even though there are parts of us that would love to do that. So it's a waiting. It's a bit in the mouth. It's a rein. It's a harness around the horse's neck. And so we're just being waiting, hold back, wait, get healed, get sanctified, and make sure that everything is ready to go. And that's kind of where the remnant is right now. There is a sanctification, and that sanctification is about to be met with a glorification. And I believe within the context of the glorification, we're going to see the reproach rolled away. The reproach rolled away. The circumcision of the heart, the knife of the word of God, cutting away the foreskin, the hardness of our hearts. I believe this is a very important conversation. Now, knowing that everything is going to be dissolved, knowing that everything is going to be burned up, it's important for us to have ourselves ready to go. Now, by the way, there's a new lighting thing here going on here. I don't know if I like it or not yet, so I need the experts out there or people that have a little artistic value to really, if you're viewing this, let us know if the lighting's okay, you know, because we don't want to scare anybody. You know, this is a face only a mother could love, and so we need the best lighting possible. So if there's any comments out there about that that could help our studio a little bit better so that we can move forward without that being in our head as well. So that's kind of where we're going to open up today, but there's a lot to talk about, as I said, and I want to begin in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 26. This is something that just kind of burned in my belly this morning. My heart was stirred by this. And so here we go, Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read verse 36. And let's see if you can make the connection here today. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, in a place called Gethsemane. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he comes unto the disciples and finds them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want you to just get these thoughts downloaded in your spirit right now that Jesus began to feel very heavy and very sorrowful. And then he felt exceedingly sorrowful and grieved, even unto death in his spirit. And he's going now and he's praying. And then he goes back to the disciples. And what are they doing? They're sleeping. And he says to them in verse 42, it says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then comes he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest, because the hour, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. So what do we have there in Matthew? We have an understanding about the life of Jesus, but there's a key here, and I want to know if you're gonna discover what the key is. He enters into Gethsemane. He prays. He's very sorrowful. The weight of the world is upon him. His disciples are sleeping. He's having a conversation with his father. But this is improved upon, if you will, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. So let's go to Mark 14. And let's read the same story. And we're going to begin in Mark 14:32. And here's what we read in Mark 14:32. Much of the same, but a little different. They came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he takes with him Peter and James and John. And he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And said unto them, my soul, excuse me, is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he comes, and he find them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he comes the third time and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise and let us go. Lo, he that betrays me is at hand. So we find in Matthew and Mark, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the last moment of his life, he's going into the Garden of Gethsemane. He's bringing his disciples. He brings three of them a little bit further, and then he goes into that sacred place, and he is very heavy, exceedingly sorrowful. The weight, something deep is going on inside of him. Luke actually improves upon this as well. In Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin in verse 39, Luke 22:39. Basically the same story, just a little bit different. And here's what we read in Luke 22:39. He came out and went, as it was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down. So this Garden of Gethsemane was on the side of the Mount of Olives. And he went down and he prayed, verse 42, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So in this part of Luke's gospel, not only is the Lord sorrowful, exceedingly sorrowful unto death, not only in agony, but here he is sweating great droplets, real sweat, and they were like blood. And there's a scientific term for this. It was known in the World War II that there was a medical condition when fear set in or pressure set in so deeply that people literally sweat drops of blood. And it's because of the pressure. And here we see Yeshua in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Mount of Olives, and he's in grief and agony and sorrowful of heart. I mean, something's going on inside of him that is so deep, so intense, that now an angel came from heaven to minister to him, give him the courage. We saw in every passage, God, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. I don't want to drink this, but nevertheless, my will, every single time. At that moment in his life, from the different perspectives of the apostles, he's going on. But God sends an angel to encourage him for what is going on. What is going on? What is happening to Yeshua? What is happening to Jesus? Well, let's look at one more in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. In John, chapter 19, we're going to begin in verse 40. And again, same exact account, just a little bit different. And here's what we read in verse 40. John 19:40. Then took they the body of Jesus. Nope, I'm a little ahead of myself here. I want to get back to the crucifixion here. And apologize for that. I think it's in John 18. All right, so early in John 18, with a beautiful prayer of John 17, I apologize for this. So John chapter 18, when Jesus had spoken these words in verse 1, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered. His disciples and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. And Judas then, having received the band and the officers from the chief priests, they came. So the point here is that Jesus Christ, in the last moments of his life, resorted to what we know to be the Garden of Gethsemane. The garden. I want you to think about this. The garden. Where did life commence for mankind? In the Garden of Eden, did it not? It was in the Garden of Eden, which means pleasure and delight. In the Garden of the Lord, in the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of time, in the place of delight and pleasure, this beautiful garden where a river went out of it and parted into four heads, there was the tree of life, remember? In this beautiful Garden of Eden at the beginning of the time, what happened? There was an act of rebellion. There was a crime that was committed. There was a sin that affected the entire world and every human being on this earth, which affected the whole global creation. All the elements, all the chemicals, everything in creation was corrupted. There was a breakdown of all things because in the garden, man rebelled against God, right? That's what we know. Man rebelled against God. And his rebellion didn't seem to be such a horrible thing. His rebellion didn't seem to be. I mean, it was just about eating a piece of fruit. It was about eating from a tree that God simply said, don't eat of that tree. But I want you to notice something. Why is Yeshua, why is Jesus now in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means the oil press? Gethsemane is the oil press. So we begin in the garden of delight and pleasure. Sin is there. So now when the atonement for mankind's sin is about to take place, where is it happening? It's happening in a garden. The sin of man originated in a garden. The atonement for that sin is in a garden. You see, Yeshua's death, Yeshua's being pressed so much in the oil press of Gethsemane, it pressed out of him his own blood. The grape was being pressed, right? We know that. We know that. But it's just interesting to me that the atonement is being made where the sin was committed, in a garden. This is the atonement for the sin of mankind. This wasn't just the atonement for the sins of a nation called Israel. Adam was not Jewish. I want you to know that. Don't be offended because, again, you know, don't go there for just a moment. But let's get back into reality. Adam in the garden was not Jewish. He was created in the image and likeness of God, who was a spirit. When Abraham came out of Iraq, he was not Jewish, okay? So I just need to say this, not to any displacement of the Jewish people, but you have to understand that the atonement of Christ's blood, the atonement of his crucifixion, was happening in a garden where the original sin was committed by the man, created in the image and likeness of God. Man. In the image and likeness of God. There was no Jew. There was no Gentile. There was none of that. There was a man. It's important for our understanding. It's important for our psyche. It's important for our psychosis. It's important for our soul. It is important for us in our spirit who have been born again to understand that the crime that was committed in the Garden of Eden was atoned for in the Garden of Gethsemane. As a matter of fact, let's go back to John chapter 19, verse 40, where I wanted to read originally, and listen to this. John chapter 19, verse 40. Don't get upset because I said what I said so far. This is not against Jews. This is not against anybody, okay? I'm just letting it be clear that the atonement was made for mankind. Now it says in verse 40, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, listen to this, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Again, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. There was a garden. Wow. In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. The sin-sick world that we live in today started in a garden. The crime was committed that affected everything and caused death to come into this earth. It's powerful when you think about it. The crime of man sinning against his creator. Everything in this world right now is a result that's negative, it's bad, it's wicked, it's decaying, it's corrupt, it's defiled, is because of sin. Now, Patricia was saying something. I can't hear what she said, though. Patricia, if you'd like to call in and express your thought, make sure you do, because you said something. But let's get back to this. Mankind sinned against God in a garden. man's sin opened the door to death, decay, corruption, defilement in every fabric of creation. Everything is distorted. Everything has been shaken up. Everything has been moved out of its original intent and place and purpose. Everything has been affected. But most importantly is the effect it has had upon the human being who was created in the image and likeness of God. So, the work of restoration began in the garden, in a garden. Crime was committed in a garden, in the Garden of Eden. The crucifixion, the pouring out of his blood began in a garden. The restoration, the atonement, is beginning in the area of his crucifixion. He's going to the scene of the crime. And that's what I think is just amazing to me. But it doesn't end there. The work of restoration. How was God going to make an atonement at the scene of the crime in a garden to begin a working out, to begin a restoration in the soul of man? Because it was his soul that was affected. So the atonement is made, and where does it lead to? What is the ultimate restoration? Well, when we go to Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, I want you to notice something, that at the very end, full circle, isn't it? In chapter 22, verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life. How does the Bible begin? In the creation of man, but in a garden. God placed the man in a garden. There was a river that went out of Eden. In Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Where was the tree of life at the beginning? It was in the garden. Where is the tree of life at the end of time? It's in a garden. It's in paradise. And this tree, it says, bore 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All right, so started out reading this week because it's important that we as human beings understand all humanity, not just the Jews' religion, not just for Gentile Christians. It is important that every human being on this earth understands where we have come from and what has happened to us as human beings. Because of the sin of Adam, the entire bloodline, the entire race of humanity has been defiled and depraved and corrupted, that the very best are still in death. There's no human being on earth good enough. There's not a human being on this planet that will ever be birthed through the canal of a woman's womb that is exempt from the curse of Adam, the curse of sin. The good news is that 2,000 years ago, one man, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Allah, Muhammad, one man, the Son of God, went to the place of the crime. He went back into a garden. and began the process of restoration and atonement for the human race. Whether you were Jewish or Gentile, you still had the effect of the sin of Adam. You may be listening to this broadcast right now and realize as a human being how corrupt you have been, how evil you have been, how wicked your heart has been. And I use that term has been because I'm believing that those of you who have been born again have allowed for the atonement to take place in your life to roll away the reproach of the sin of Adam. Hallelujah. I am trusting and believing that your faith and my faith in the grace of God and the work of Christ in that garden and upon that cross, that you have been impacted by the power of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that that work of the cross has impacted and slain the enmity, and the curse of Adam has been removed from your soul. I'm believing that in my soul. It is true. It is done. It is finished. God is never going to do another thing to deal with the curse of Adam. He's already done it, and it's all about you and I accessing it, finding it, laying hold on it, and bringing it into our experience and allowing the redemption. Oh, it's already done. It's just about you figuring it out and me figuring it out. It's about you and I, by faith, going in there and partaking of the weight of what has been done. Is that okay? Because if you're on the right path, there is no condemnation. If you're on the right path, there is no curse. If you're on the right path, there is no longer a reproach that is legally binding to your soul. It has been legally defeated. It has been legally overcome. The curse. And you have become the blessed. And you have become the redeemed. Now, if you're watching this broadcast and you're an anti-whatever, you don't believe, you're just kind of in a place. Listen, you are corrupt because of your sin like every other human being. We're all the same. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're living in this world. You see the violence. You see the hate. You see the wickedness. You see the corruption. You see the evil. And you look at good people. But if they're without Christ, they're still going to die. Because really, in their hearts before God, they've sinned. There's no human being on the earth apart from Christ that has life in them. You're one of those human beings. Your anger, your hate, your wickedness, your evil, the cursed life that you have, the bad side of the tracks that Adam grew up on. Come on. Do you want to change it? Is the question. Do you want it removed from you? Do you want your soul emancipated from the bloodline curse of Adam? Well, Christ did it. If you want it, it's in Jesus. Jesus is not about going to a church building and sitting down in the pews. Jesus Christ is not about a formal, organized, religious structure. He's about getting into your soul and mine and working a work of salvation through the power of his cross and his blood, to break the generational bloodline chains off of your life and off of mine. It's time for God's people to be released. I'm telling you, we're in the season. We are in the day. It's been the day since Christ died and resurrected. Believe me, the day of restoration, the day of atonement has already been accomplished. But it's time for you and I to hear something in our spirit, in our mind, to press us to go forward and partake of it, so that that reproach of the devil off of your life will end. It's time for you to no longer be tormented. It's time for you no longer to be under, for you to be buried with guilt, shame, and condemnation and brokenness. It's time for the restoration to take place in your life. It's time not saith the Vincent, but saith the Lord God Almighty, it is time. And why? Because not until that reproach is removed from the heart of God's people will that end time army be ready to go. I know we want to go right now. We want to get involved. We want to carry our signs. We want to go. Not yet. This reproach deal has to be dealt with. And you go back into the Joshua, they had to have their reproach taken away from them. Joshua 5:8, their reproach had to be rolled away, and they had to be circumcised before they ever went in to take the land. And not until every filthy work of the devil against your life and mine is done, not until the bondage is broken, not until the curse is undone, not until the redemption. You want to talk about a meltdown? I know out here what's ready to melt down in the nuclear weapons that are going to fly everywhere, but the word redemption, seven times, I'm telling you, it's written in the book of Ephesians that God's ultimate desire, seven times in that book, is to gather his people together who have been redeemed. Now, three times in the book of Ephesians, it talks about through his blood, we have forgiveness of, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that we are sealed until, it's 1:14. So let's read it. Ephesians 1:14. Let me show you something. I wasn't planning to do this, but let's do it. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, first of all, says, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. So we have redemption. But then in verse 14 it says, Ephesians 1:14, it says this. In 13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. So we have redemption in verse 7. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, but we're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession. To redeem something is to purchase it. You and I have been purchased with the blood of Christ. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the redemption. There's a greater redemption of the purchase, of the redeemed. So there's a redemption of the redeemed. We're bought, but now there's a redemption. What is that? In Ephesians 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed until the day of redemption. The word redemption is lutron in the Greek. And it has a bunch of things about being bought, redeemed, purchased. But in the root of luo, it literally means to dissolve, to melt, to break, to loosen. In other words, the redemption that God has for you and I is to melt every wicked thing. In other words, all the dead cells, all of the elements within our own self that have been defiled through sin, he's going to melt all of that, burn it up, dissolve it, and he's going to put the new molecule, the new energy, the new life in a born-again creation. I'm telling you, it's coming. It is time to melt down. In the earth, we're going to see the melting of elements. There's no doubt. But while the earth is melting and dissolving under the great tribulational forces of nuclear war and every other thing that's going to be released, there's another melting going on. It's the melting of the bondage. It's the melting of sin. It is the melting, the dissolving, the disintegration in our own lives, a supernatural meltdown of everything in us contrary to God until we are so born again, so renewed in the spirit of our mind, so transformed, and so conformed into his image that there's not a cell left in us that will have any obstacle. I'm telling you, this is what time it is. The day of redemption draws nigh. You've already been purchased. but you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit for the process of working it out, sanctification. But sanctification leads to glorification. Justification, that's the blood. Sanctification, that's the sealing. Glorification, the loosening. Are you ready for that? Is that okay? I mean, is it okay to just kind of let you know that the crime that was committed against God in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time was atoned for by the second man from heaven, Jesus Christ, the first of a new species of mankind? He paid the price in the garden so that a restoration could begin. And the day you believed, you were sealed. The day you believed, you were bought. And yet God is saying he's going to quicken the pace and accelerate everything concerning you, as everything's accelerating out there. Here's the truth. You want to know the truth? There is no curse left on your life. Here's the truth. Now, whether you've caught up with it or I have is different, but here's the truth. There is no bondage. There is no curse. There is no corruption, defilement, decay. In truth, in Christ, it does not exist. It's done. But we, in our approach to the promise, haven't figured it out yet. We haven't worked out our salvation yet. You know what it means to work out your salvation? It means to get the code lined up just right. It's through apostolic doctrine, apostolic anointing, that we are trained, not in pretend or la-la land. This is powerful business being transacted in the kingdom of God. The transaction of kingdom business is your soul. The most important business in the kingdom of God is your soul. And God wants you to experience and taste what the Lord has done for you. Is that okay? You're not guilty anymore. Shame and disgrace and reproach, it's not on you anymore. And you're going to experience it in this now moment. I don't know how God did it. I just know he did. I just know that it's not the kind of doctrine. I'm not talking about, well, in idea, this is right. In the Bible, it's clear. But in experience, we're still sinners. No, we're not going there. No, you got to say no. You have to say no, because it's time to experience your salvation, your deliverance, the redemption, the atonement, the restoration, the reconciliation. Come on. It's time. It's time. Do you believe? Do you believe what I'm saying is true? I know it's the Word of God. I'm not making it up. I'm not into some vain philosophy. I'm telling you the Word of God says you're born again. And if any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let all of that cellular destruction that came through sin, let it go. Let it melt. Let God dissolve it. Let him disintegrate it. All right, so that's where I wanted to begin today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a time to be free. What a time to be emancipated. What a time to tell the devil, the accuser of the brethren, go back to hell where you came from. What a time to not just say it in anguish, oh, leave me alone, don't torment me. No, but it's done. It's over. You can't accuse me any longer. There's no more reproach. Forget it. What a time. This is God's end time army. This is. Now, my wife is running down the steps. She wants to tell me something. What do you have, darling? She's got notes for me. The best, most freeing sermon I have ever heard. Is that from you? Oh, my wife just said this was the best sermon she ever heard. I thought she was yelling at me upstairs about 10 minutes ago. She's saying, hallelujah. And this is a woman that's been in deliverance. You see, God wants us to know something. God wants you to know something. And forgive me, but it's most important. You are the most important business in God's mind. You are. and he's ready to take your dragon and slay it. Come on. He's ready to take the beast in your soul and break it. Come on. It's time for deliverance. It's time for salvation. It's there. Something is happening. Dissolve. Melt. I love that, don't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to be able to look right in the face of the devil himself and sense nothing. Fear nothing. Because he's got nothing. He doesn't own a cell in your body. He doesn't have access to anything in your blood. You are born again into the bloodline. You have been taken out of the blood of Adam, and you've been translated into the blood of Yeshua. That's it. That's what it means to be born again. So let it work. 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 Now, the rest of the human race throwing bombs and beating each other up, baseball bats, because that's what you do if you're not born again. But listen to me. At the end of the day, there's nothing eternal. There's nothing eternal, folks, in what they're doing right now. This is just Satan trying to, well, what he's doing is fulfilling Bible prophecy, nation against nation, ethnos against ethnos, kingdom. He's just clashing humanity because he hates it. And if you can see the devil having man in one hand and man in another and just beating the daylights out of him, if you can see it, that's all he's doing. He doesn't care about the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, those poor people. They're just caught into the deception. They need to know you could step out of that stupidity and get ready for a real battle. A real battle. Not between flesh and blood, but a real battle for the salvation of the lost. I've got a call coming in. I'm going to take the call. Coming all the way from area code 479903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, hello, Pastor.
Good morning, sir.
I have a question about, the Father of Jesus on the cross, or the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and having passed out from under that, which was a curse, entered into the blessings of Abraham, whom blessed in all things. Is that, well, I guess it's kind of a question.
Well, here's what it looks like. Here's what, if I'm understanding you properly, the curse of Adam was on the human race. Even when God took Abraham out of Iraq, the land of the Chaldeans, and made a covenant with him, even there, that bloodline curse of Adam was not finished. There had yet not been an atonement. So even in the formation of a nation, which was only formed for the purpose of bringing forth the seed, the promised seed, which is Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah. Remember, that's what Galatians 3 is all about. Until the seed should come. So out of Israel being a nation, the seed grew up within that bloodline in the natural way. And 2,000 years ago on the cross, the atonement was made so that the creation from Adam, Abraham, Israel, the Gentiles now, all creation can come back to the restoration of what God intended through the blood of Christ. And what we're doing is weakening the blood and the power and the work of the cross, because we've been told that it really doesn't have enough power to change us from the inside out. But the fact of the matter, it does, and we are undergoing a transformation through sanctification. The time of glorification is at hand. And I believe God is saying, I'm going to roll away the reproach from off those who believe and have allowed the cross to do its work, and they're going to step out, no longer wrestling with dragons and demons and beasts and generational bloodline curses. It has to draw to an end, and I believe that time is at hand. Does that help?
Yes, amen. I'm going to say it's very in the garden, starting in the beginning, and then in Revelation, the garden again, bringing forth all these little tidbits. Oh, it's so good. It's so, and in the scriptures, the way you're doing this, you're anointed, and I just praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hey, George, every cell in your body, can you imagine every fiber of your mind, every chemical in your brain, everything that was contrary to God is being melted through the redemption, and God is replacing it with the chemical and the energy and the life and the fiber and the cell of a new creation species. I mean, he's literally getting ready to unfold. He's unpacking. He's going to unveil his new creation that began with his firstborn son in many sons that have come to glorification. Hallelujah.
Praise him. Hallelujah. And, hallelujah.
And why
praise
getting his
word? I want to be what? Melded. I'd like to be melded more.
Yes. Well, receive it. We're all going to get melted. I agree, through the fiery trials, but there's a season here. That we're in a season where God is saying to his kids, I'm rolling away the reproach, and I'm just taking this to the utmost, the utter reality of what that actually means, without holding on to any well buts and yeah buts, and we don't need to do that. We just need the faith to press all the way in, right?
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Thank you, George, for the call. Looking forward to seeing you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to call into the broadcast, maybe you did hear something you'd like to share. I've got a lot of stuff I'm going to get on into now about what's going on in this sin-sick world that we live in and things that we need to be preparing for as new creation species, born-again beings, who God is doing something. You know, it's impossible for you and I. I'm not talking you and I could do anything. Nothing we're talking about is in our own strength. Nothing is by our doing. It's what God is doing. And I want God to be God in my life. Do you want him to be God in your life? Yes, you do. So if God wants to perfect in you and create in you a brand new species nature, is he okay with doing that? Are you okay with letting him do it? And we're saying today, yes. Yes, we are. All right, so let's go to our board. I got another call coming in from area code 605. Let's take that call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is going to be a controversial question. And, we are the chosen people of God because we have accepted his son. And then as far as I keep hearing about the land of Israel, not the people that are the people of followers of Jesus Christ. So who is the blessed, the people or the land, or where does it go from here? Because, I mean, if Jesus ended up, my feelings are is that there's too much emphasis put on the land of Israel than of the people of Jesus, who was the replacement. The Jewish people did not after Jesus. They were the ones that went against him, not for him. So where do we stand?
Okay. It's a great question. And let's approach it this way. We know that the earth was created before man was ever on it. We get that. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, not just the land of Israel. So we also know that when man sins on the earth, that the earth vomits out the inhabitants. Woe to those who defile the earth, we find in Revelation chapter 11. So God loves his earth. He created this planet, and it is a beautiful planet, and it has the ability to have a fever, to throw up. It shakes, it gets in all of that. We know the earth is a living organism and God loves it, but he put the man, the earth is not after the nature of God, but the man on the earth is. Now sin has affected all of it. Then God makes a covenant with Israel and he gives them land. And that land is there, and that Israel of God is to live on that land in obedience, and that land will produce, and it will be good and fruitful. But again, Israel sinned, the land is defiled, it has to go through all of these things. So if we follow it all the way to the end, what we're going to see that what God cares about, ultimately, God's greatest creation is you and I, human race. And he's bringing a people like Yeshua, like Adam was before sin, but even better, coming back, and the earth will be restored and renewed. So right now, in my understanding of the earth and the land of Israel, yes, it is important to God, but creation, mankind, is his number one business in the universe. Does that help at all?
Yes, it does, except I still don't know where I stand with the land of Israel rather than the Son of God.
Well, it's definitely, you know, I believe, we could talk this, and if you could receive it, we could receive it. If we can't, we can't. I believe Jesus talked about the soil of our hearts for a reason in Matthew chapter 13. I believe that he said that there was, he likened a man's field to the soil. And some of it had weeds, and some of it had rocks, and some of it had all these things. Then there was good soil. So I believe that we, the human race, God's people, we are his land. Ultimately, we are the territory that he's going to live in. It says that he, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are going to live inside of us. They're going to come and make their abode in us. So it's we are the land. So when you put people together whose hearts have been sanctified and they get into that good soil and the land, we become the garden of the Lord. The Bible tells us we are his garden. We are his house. And so I believe it's more about people than terra firma earth. But I do believe that God will restore the terra firma earth from Israel to the ends of the earth in the universe. And it'll all be beautiful, but his dwelling place is in us. We are the most important thing. That's
praise
what I believe.
God. That's where I was coming from with my question.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
I want to thank you for the work that you're doing, because there's so many people that need to hear the message that you're bringing out this morning, including a lot of the pastors, but people are not listening anymore.
Thank you for the encouragement. You are an exhorter. If I were to name you, I would name you Barnabas. Thank you for your encouragement, Pastor Brother
Ken. Thank you.
Brother Ken, God bless you. All right, the number to call, 818-369-0326. We're going to take our next call coming in from 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Morning, Pastor. This is Phil. Hey.
Hello, Phil.
I, at age 35, 1977, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart as my Savior. But that's 43 years ago. During all that 43 years, I never looked up the meaning of Gethsemane. And it just strikes me, I'm still learning at age 78.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're going to not only learn, but receive and accept and to take into you the words of God from his scriptures that are renewing you from the inside out, healing your bloodline, healing your cells, healing the atoms within you. Everything that's on the inside of you, everything from the chemicals of the brain. Can you imagine? He's going to melt down and dissolve and disintegrate and remove and release. So that the brand new is coming on. It's growing in the inside of you, and there will be a manifestation of it. And Christ paid the price for that to happen. Christ paid the price so that you and I could be really born again in experience, not just in word. What a beautiful God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, Phil. Thank you. And we're all learning. 78 years old. Can you imagine that? 78, still learning. 88, 78. My father-in-law, Mr. B, lived to be 100 years old. He was still learning at 98. We're all here. And God has something for us. Now, listen, the theme of our Feast of Tabernacles this year, the theme, I will roll away the reproach from my people. And I think this is what's happening this morning is just a birthing. It's just coming from within. It wasn't organized. It's organically going forth, because I was going to talk about Russia's nuclear weapons. But this needed to happen first. We have to come into agreement with God's word and allow God to do in us what he wants to do. And he's telling us, and we've got to get it, you know, into alignment with this, not just in word. And I'm going to tell you something. When the new genes of Christ, when the new DNA of Christ, when the new blood of Christ, when the cells of Christ, when the atoms of Christ are activated and operative in us, I'm telling you, you're not going to experience the death anymore. You're going to change. You're going to realize you can do things you never thought you could do. You're not just going to live under the bondage and the weight of your failure. Something is going to motivate you to go out and do something. And I'm telling you, healings, miracles, signs, wonders, something is going to happen to you. This will be awesome. We're going to be watching 78-year-olds, 88-year-olds go through a metamorphosis. We're going to see them working out, losing weight, getting healed, walking normal. I mean, because it's the life-giving spirit of the genuine DNA, cellular molecules, atoms, brain cells, chemistry. It's all blood. Sickness and disease is going to be swallowed up right now in this reality. Do you believe it? That's God's word. That's what makes the gospel more potent than philosophy, religion. And I'm telling you what, when I began this gig 38 years ago, the last thing I ever wanted to do was sit in a pew and go to a church. I was told that Christ could change my life. And he could change yours. All right. Let's see what's going on here right now. What's going on? What's going on? The number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Let's say hello to some of our friends out there in YouTube land. And I've got some information for you. And on Facebook, let's say hello, first of all, to Sharon Evans was the first this morning to say good morning. So good morning, Sharon. And good morning, Cindy. God bless you. Always faithful listeners. Mark, shalom, my dear brother. Can't wait to hear your testimonies as we get to hear once every week, maybe twice. I love that. Sonia, good morning. God bless you, Sonia. She says, good morning, Sage. Shalom, Pastor Vincent. I finally heard last Friday's call. Wow. I'm grateful to hear the Spirit of God speak through you. That was powerful, powerfully piercing. Thank you. I don't even know what happened Friday, but I will remember at some point. Thank you for the encouragement, Sonia. Misty is saying, praises to King Jesus. All. Amen, Misty. Remember, get yourself a few saints up there in Alaska. Patricia and I will be on our way to encourage the saints up there. Adam Lindcrest. Good morning, Adam. God bless you, sir. Welcome to this broadcast. Keith Carey is saying, good morning, Pastor Vincent and Sister Sonia. Psalm 34, that song, you raise me up to walk on stormy seas. Got it. Love it. You got to love that one. And our dear brother, Kevin Hauger, morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day here in Northwest Arkansas. Yes, it is. About 70s, in the 70s. It's going to be a beautiful morning. I almost thought Mr. Rogers was going to be saying something on that one, Kevin. And here we go. Sonia, good morning, Keith. Yes, perfect song, my friend. Cindy saying, good morning, Todd and Sherry Room. Todd and Sherry, good morning. Welcome to our little community of believers, our family around the world. Welcome. We welcome your input as well, by the way. Ian Rood is saying, good morning, Cindy. Everybody's greeting each other. You got to love that. It's so much fun, isn't it? Truly. Morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day. We have that. Good morning, Misty, Kevin, Sharon. Good morning. Ian says, good morning, Pastor Vince. Amen. God is not slack in his promise. He just wants his kids to be ready. Amen to that. I totally agree with that. Let's go on. Denny is saying, good morning. Lighting is good. They like the lighting. That's so important. Adam, lighting is very good. Thanks, Adam. I appreciate that. Misty, lighting looks great. Yo, I'm way back. I'm way behind times here. Marissa saying, you look great this morning. Thank you, Marissa. You look great too. I just know you do. And then again, let's see. Now it's getting funny. You couldn't look better, Vincent. Okay. I love it. Sonia, lighting is great. Look at all the lighting things. And then Kevin, who set up the lighting, by the way, everybody, Kevin Hauger came here yesterday. He purchased for our little downstairs studio these lights. They were about $85 a piece. He got them. They're actually $150 a piece. He came here, put them together. I said, how much? He said, no charge. God bless you, Kevin. for every soul that gets touched. May that fruit abound to your account as well, my friend. And now he is saying here, the blinds open or closed. I think they're half open. What do you think about that? All right. It's okay. So Jim Miller, good morning, sir. So great to hear and know that you speak the truth of his word, spirit, and his awesomeness for sure. Jim, thank you so much. God bless you, sir. You have been an encouragement. Never met you before. I don't think I've ever talked with you, but you're such an encouragement. We appreciate it. Marissa saying she's watching from Florida. Florida escaped Isaiah, didn't it? Hope you and your husband are having a wonderful time. Well-deserved. Reflect, refresh, restore, and get ready to go. Dear Marissa. Keith Carey, haha, your face is unique. God created it. Okay, so we're way back when to the time I said, this is the face only a mother could love. And I could say some other things, but I won't. All right, Sonia is saying hello to Marissa. Good, good, good. Great day in the Lord, says Brother David Ellison. David, God bless you. Appreciate you guys with all of our heart. We love you. And Scarlett, there you are. I love the song, Watch and Pray. The lighting is stronger on the left. Good morning. The lighting is stronger on the left. I know that's not a political statement. All right, Scarlett, God bless you. And we're going to check out that light on the left. The thing is, I don't know if my right is my left or my left is my right because I'm looking in the camera and everything's backwards. I get a little confused about that. Kathy Bruns, with the lighting, your hair really shines. Shining hair. Praise God. Thank you for that, Kathy. Hey, Vinny, pots and pans, where have you been? Good morning, Vincenzo and Saints. For your information, Tom Hanks and his wife just became Greek citizens. They are on the run from the pedophile investigation of Epstein Island. In Greece, pedophilia is considered a disability. Mamma mia. Can you believe it? Keep on running. Keep on running, because when the glory comes, it's going to flush out everything that is opposed Christ. Come on, saints. Come on. Hector Schmidt, all the way from California. Good morning, my brother Vincent. Blessings to the body of Christ. The lighting is perfect. Thank you, Hector. Hector is so awesome. God bless you, Hector. Now, Vinny, pots and pans. Oh, Sonia's saying, wow, Vinny. And I'd get that. That is a wow. Let them run. I agree. Good morning, Adam, Hector, Kathy, hugs to you, Scarlett, Misty saying we need to quit sleeping, watch and actively pray. I am absolutely agreeing with that. Chuck Eastridge, good morning, Chuck. God bless you, sir. And Vinny Potts fans, a lot of Hollywood are going to be arrested soon in politicians. You know, I hope so. What a vindication to watch it be done. And yet, saints of God, there's another war coming in the spirit that God's preparing us for. But let's pray. I totally agree. I love the idea of defunding Hollywood instead of the police department. What do you think? But again, is this our time for the battle? Hold on just a second. Michelle Schwant says, good morning from Texas. Michelle, God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. And again, Chuck is saying amen. Cindy is good morning. Chuck Eastridge, that's right. Praise the Lord. And David Ellison in his comments says, very few good and honest Hollywood actors. Yeah, I think you're right. But there's some good PureFlix movies. We saw one last night called John Light. You might want to watch that one. John Light. Cool. Cool movie. Loved it. All right. Sandra Matlew saying, gonna miss listening to you on Kerm Radio. Well, Sandra, I'm waiting for the colonel to call me and say, hey, get back on the air. I'm going to reduce your price in half or something like that. Just bring us back. We'll be ready to go. Kevin Hauger praying, I felt the pain in the same area, and I could see what I've already been told for those falling away because they think that the cost is too hard and too much to do. It's referring to the message we were preaching. Jesus is coming soon, says Michelle Schwant. I agree. We are going to have to go through persecution, Sandra says. It's true. We believe that. We've been preparing the saints for a long time, and we're going to get ready. But just imagine if we are a new species inwardly, regenerated, reconciled, restored, new DNA, born again, new creatures. I think we're going to go through just fine, praise God, and do exploits in the midst of this thing. All right, David Ellison saying pre-tribbers will fall away. We won't have to fear zombies in the tribulation, but pre-trib Christians who will curse God and be out for blood. My God, David, how profound was that? Vinny Pots and Pans. Information also is coming out is Androchrome, which is scaring children to the peak of death. And doctors tap into the glands of that child and draw the blood. Blood then is drank. Now, Vinny, you're a detective from New York. You know some stuff going on out there. That's brutal what you just mentioned, but it's true. It needs to be dealt with, don't you think? Church, what if we want to see the power of God come and smash to smithereens the evil, right? What if this, the timing was dependent upon a bride who has made herself ready? Just think about that. All right, Scarlett Dill says this whole plan is about getting us back to the garden. Amen, it is. Many Christians, Kevin says, friends, will not make it in the end times. Two-thirds of the people will be gone because of the tough times and such written about in Revelation. You're right on. There will be a great falling away. The majority, the poulos in the Greek, will not make it through. So sad. Keith Carey says, so comforting to read Revelation 22 and beyond the river of life, now pure, hallelujah, amen, getting us back to the garden. I believe the river of life is the Holy Spirit, and it's crystal clear, and it's flowing through our veins, that we are the garden of the Lord, and the river flows through us. Amen. Just an idea, just a thought, but I think it's very true. Sandra says, just like Jesus did, but Jesus went through so much more. The Bible does say we will go through it. Yes, Jesus sweat that blood because he took the weight of the world's sin from the Garden of Eden all the way through time. Wow, so powerful, so powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ought to just stop and give a praise break. Vinny Pots and Pans, also the company Wayfair, is linked as a front for such human trafficking. Wayfair, W-A-Y-F-A-I-R. Chuck Eastridge, yes, Michael John, remember, it is the pressure that will cause many to fall away. The road is narrow. Pressure, thlipsis, two-thirds will fall away, and he will bring a third through the fire. Zechariah. Good thoughts, Michael John. Chuck Eastridge is agreeing with some amens. Thank you, Jesus. Sandra, that's right. Amen. We're getting some thumbs up, some truth. Amens. Preach it, brother. Amen. Kevin Hauger, join us in Decatur Wednesday evening for Bible study, to be filled with more of this teaching and discussion. Well, thanks, Kevin. And we will be at Bible study tomorrow in Decatur. If you're listening, we're not going to be at the church tomorrow. We're going to have our meeting in the Ark. So if you want to meet with us 7 o'clock tomorrow, it will be on the Ark. You know why? Because Michael and Ian and Hector, they drilled and they cut and they sawed and they put an air conditioner and fans, and we could sit in there without passing out. We have air conditioning and heat, by the way. Praise God. So that's where we're going to be tonight. Great message. Thank you for that. Amens, amens, amens. Stand strong through the pressure. Yes, Marissa. Aloha, brother David is coming from Michael John. We got some hellos. And then we have Misty saying, Psalm 133 is also the plan for these end times. As my daughter Shannon knows for a long time, I've been stressing that the body has to physically come together. She did a great job of finding verse. Wow, this is so true. This, you know, 1 Corinthians 110, my wife Patricia's favorite scripture. Now I beseech you, brethren, that you all speak the same thing and you all have the same mind and there be you be perfectly joined together in one. It's everywhere. Especially in Philippians. David says, taste what the Lord did for you. It don't taste like fried chicken. That's right, brother. It doesn't taste like fried chicken. But my wife made some chicken last night that had a light fry on it. It was awesome. All right, where are we at here? Misty says, which proves the beauty of the body. Yes, it is going to be a beautiful body, no doubt. And the Lord, the bridegroom, is waiting for his bride. Roll the reproach away from my people. Roll the reproach away from my people. That reproach was rolled away when the stone rolled away and the resurrection began 2,000 years ago. But it's time for the reproach of all of his people to be rolled away, because the devil has been so good at putting so much junk on everybody. When that reproach is gone and that sanctifying work of Christ is done inwardly, we're going to be speaking things that are more glorious than we've ever known. We're not here to speak the trash of the world. We don't want their language. We don't want the way they talk. We could get in there and mix it up if we needed to, but we don't want to, and we don't need to. We're going to speak a language that comes right out of heaven that the Apostle Paul heard when he went to the third heaven. He said, I heard things that were not permissible to speak on this earth. And what he meant, there's no language for it, but that language is going to be heard on this earth through a body, through a bride. There's going to be a word spoken. There's going to be a note that's going to rain down on this earth, a sound within a golden raindrop. And when it smashes on this earth, there's going to be a sound of heaven, and there's going to be a language, and there's going to be some speech that's going to be heard. We don't need this world. We've got the language of heaven. That's why we pray in tongues. The reason why we do, because there's an interpretation behind it, and eventually it's going to fill the atmosphere. Yes, indeed, it's going to happen. Just a side note. All right, I love this. Sonia says, truly knowing the business of our Elohim is the only business that matters. All else pales in comparison. And boy, did you prove that in your recent decisions, didn't you, Sonia? God bless you, and may God insert you where you belong to make everything go in the kingdom of God. Now, Lori is out there. Good morning, Lori and Ray. God bless you. Our favorite friends. You guys are so awesome. We'll see you tonight at Bible study. Looking forward to it. God bless you. Do you know what happens every Tuesday night? Every Tuesday night, our neighbors invite Patricia and I come over to teach a Bible study. But before that happens, they prepare a meal every evening. And then we have a small group of people that come together and we have Bible study. And we lay hands and we pray and we encourage. Monday night, you know what we do here? They have another group of people that pray every Monday. You know what we do Wednesday night here? We gather together, everybody, for a Bible study. You know what we do Thursday here? It's growing like crazy. A roundtable discussion where Patricia teaches Bible study. You know what we do Friday in another house near Decatur? A Bible study. You know what we do Saturday at 5:30, Shabbat? We come together for a Saturday evening service. You know what we do Sunday? Sunday at 2 o'clock, we have another service. You know what we're doing? We're learning and growing and increasing and expanding and allowing God. And then people like Marissa, they go right off to Florida for a rest. And we'll go South Dakota, Tyler. I can't wait to see where God's going to have us go next. Folks, I'm biting at the bit. I want to know, where are we going next? Father, where is your spirit prompting a gathering together so that we could go and impart? Now, we have new friends in Tyler and Bullard, and we have friends in South Dakota. We met friends in Minnesota and Iowa. We're going to be seeing our friend from Tennessee, Pastor Kevin. There's going to be an ingathering in less than 2 months called the Feast of Tabernacles. The theme is Father's going to take away the reproach. I have to believe that there's going to be an experience in that. I believe it. He's going to do something with the theme. Not just name, experience. And you know what we're going to do for 8 days? During the Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to wake up in the morning. We're going to go to the ark. We're going to have some coffee and bagels and a little breakfast. If Pastor Ken puts his hand to the plow, watch out. Those are amazing breakfasts. Then we're going to have praise and worship. Then we're going under the tent in the middle of the ark, a beautiful place. And we're going to have a word spoken. And we're going to have a number of different people speaking. And then after that word is spoken, we're going to have a lunch that's going to be prepared by the host church, New Wine Ministries. They're all going to be doing, we already got a Wednesday. Wednesday is already chili. And that's Denny and Sally going to be making chili. And they don't just make regular chili, they make good chili. And so who knows what will be during those days of celebration, feeding the flock of God spiritually and physically. And then after that lunch, people play football, chess, whatever they like to do, fellowship, break bread, go fishing, go for a bike ride, go to a lake, whatever. But everybody returns every evening right around 6:30, where there'll be some minor refreshments, praise and worship, and then the message. And then we go after the message to do whatever we do, and we do it again. 8 days of fellowship. I hope you're prepared. to keep up with what God is going to provide. We've been doing this 31 years, and we're just learning so much intrinsic value. This year, we may even have a family that's going to put their sukkah. They're going to actually build a booth and put it up there, and we're going to talk about that. So it's intrinsic value that we get into the Feast of the Lord, but there's also so much we could learn. Again, a little side note of where we're going, what we're doing for the Feast of Tabernacles 2020. If you have a question or a comment, I'm seeing we've got about 10 minutes left in our broadcast. Hey, I wanted to ask you, because it's the first of the month, would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can do that by going to our website, and the address is right on the screen. If you're listening by phone, would you please write it down? NWMglobal.org, all one word, all lowercase, www.nwmglobal.org, and go to our donations tab, and you could sow into the ministry. We need to raise funds for the Feast of Tabernacles. We need to raise between $12,000 and $16,000. What is that for? So if Daniel decides to come, we're going to fly him in. Pastor Honeycutt, we need to take care of him. Our pastors from South Dakota, we need to take care of them. We need to get the food. We need to get the tent. We need to get the chairs and the table. We need to get the literature. We need to do a lot. And it takes a lot of money. And if anybody out there would like to support or supply the financial need for the Feast of Tabernacles, and you desire to send an offering, you could do it through the internet, or you could send it to P.O. Box 100. P.O. Box 100. And that's in the little town of Decatur, Arkansas, AR. And the zip code, you could just write the zip code and you'll find the city, Decatur, 72722. So if you would like to send an offering, a gift, a check for the Feast of Tabernacles directly, if you would send it and just put a note in, whether it's gold, silver, cash, or a check, boy, did you see the price of gold? 1993. A couple of gold coins would help out a lot, right? But here's the deal. If you do give, just say, this is for the Feast of Tabernacles. If you write a check on the bottom left, just say, this is for the Feast of Tabernacles. So, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. If you would like to undergird the support of the hosting, and God has always done it. He's never not done it. He has been so beautiful, and the people that have given have always been deeply special, and I know they honored the Lord for it, and that's what the money will be used for, just like when we prayed for that RV to go out and start churches. It's taken care of. Awesome. I want to thank every single person that has ever given $1 to this ministry because you loved the ministry. I want to ask the Lord to put his blessing on your finances, on your seed sown. I want to come and do agreement with you that not only will he now supply your needs according to his riches and glory, which may not just be financial, it may be relational, it may be in a job, it may be in some other area, your health. I just ask that God would meet your needs according to his riches and glory. Our need right now is for a Feast of Tabernacles. Our need right now, we want to get out there and start meeting with the saints. That's our assignment. That's our job. What is your need? May God meet it. We also want to come into agreement that God will multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness according to his word. Wow. Giving money increases the fruits of righteousness. That's a powerful discussion. Anyways, if you would like to support the ministry again, it's at nwmglobal.org. Let's spend a minute, and I guess what I'm going to have to do is wait for my friend Sean out there who asked me to do a little research this weekend. I did, and I guess we're going to wait till tomorrow or Thursday because Daniel Seckham will be joining us tomorrow all the way from Australia right here. So that's it for me right now. A few more comments are on the board. Let me go see what they are. And again, let's see. Thank you for the blessings, you guys. Scarlett says, just recently, a study has found that all of us religious fanatics have a certain chromosome. I believe that this is the seed. They want to take it out of us. May it never be. It shall never be. It'll never be extracted. Because you touch that, you're touching something that belongs to God. And he said, do my prophets no harm. Don't touch my anointed. And every person listening right here are anointed by God. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. The religious the facade, the counterfeit, the cosmetic, yeah, you're going to get touched. The true? No way. Sonia says, yes, praise and glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Zion, Israel is a land and a people. They cannot be separated. I agree with that. David Ellison, they will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. Hosea chapter 11. We're grafted in. We are his people. I love this conversation. I see Bonnie Boyer. Great answer to Ken. I love that. Sonia, hallelujah. I love that. Bonnie, you might write the phone number to call in on the screen so new listeners can get it. Usually they don't have a pen with them. You're right about that. I will do that. So the number to call, 818-369-0326. And it's a little late right now. I get that. David says we will all be wearing designer jeans with a G, the jean designer jeans. Well said, David. Well said. Donna, good morning from Phoenix. Love the message. God bless you, Donna. Thank you for calling in. We remember you and Don very well, our dear friends. David Joseph Obenauer, Pastor Dave, preach the word, brother. We love you guys. We love you too. Right as your left, he said. I'm still confused about that. Now, Kevin Hauger, everyone, have a blessed day. To work I go. We'll follow up later. So nice to watch anytime. Bonnie says, the war is in the church. By that, I mean institutional church, where we're at one last Sunday in Idaho, and everyone had a mask. No one looked up. No one stood up. No one could shake hands. No one could smile because you can't see with the mask on. And even the pastor from the pulpit thought he was going to have to fight the devil. He said, meaning us. He said, meeting us. Meaning us. In other words, so Bonnie and her husband were sitting in a church. The pastor said he's going to have to fight the devil because they weren't wearing a mask. Yikes. They were going to have to fight the devil and said, meaning us, if we wouldn't put the mask on. We found out later he had asked one of the worship leaders to leave if he isn't going to put a mask on. Because God, Donna says God committed to work through humans and his free will. Man chose disobedience in the garden. God became man and chose God's will in the garden and redeemed us. Hallelujah. Samuel Grimes, morning, Pastor. Dixie Elda and I say hello. Good morning, Dixie, Elda, and Sam. God bless you. Hello to you. Chuck Eastridge, again, saying hello to those folks. So glad you preach the truth. Thank you, Sandra. You guys are a real deal. Thank you, Chuck, for that. I believe it's true. He will lead you into pressure, whatever he wants. Thank you for that. Listen, and we got amens. I think that's it, folks, for today. Thank you for those amazing comments. Thank you for staying with me for an hour and a half. Go back, listen to it again and again. By the way, time out. If you go to our website, nwmglobal.org, on the very front page, I have videos on there. And if you scroll down a little bit, you could just click the button for Facebook to bring you, and you could just click the button for YouTube, and you could find all of our videos there. We're trying to make NWM Global our hub, where you can find out where we are, what times we meet. It's all there. And there's a registration tab under the Feast of Tabernacles tab. You register. There's no cost to come to the feast. We just want to know how many you're coming so we could prepare properly. And then I wrote a little bit about Tabernacles. You could read a little bit about it. Tells the times, the dates, and I need to do more. I'm going to get the speakers lined up and some more information. Having said that, everybody, God bless you. Stephanie, good morning. I turned in too late. We'll have to replay. You're going to love the replay. Get it into your spirit, Stephanie. Shalom, everybody. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right now on Omega Radio. Here's another, omegaradio.org. Patricia Joy Xavier, out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is teaching a roundtable discussion. You don't want to miss it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, omegaradio.org. Shalom to everybody. God bless you. We'll see you down the road. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Vince. God bless.